Good to be here tonight. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would. Go to head and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And we will begin reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 8 this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 1 down through verse number 8. It says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you again for this night you've given us. I pray that you just guide me through your word. Lord, I thank you for how this came about in my life this past week, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Most of you guys know that the last few weeks we've been going through a discipleship program in our church, and it started out with a couple men, and our group has grown tremendously, and honestly, I think if it keeps on growing, we're going to have to meet over here, which is a good thing. The women's has grown as well, but during that time, we have a lot of discussion. We talk about the Bible. We talk about things that we're dealing with in that particular night. But this past Monday night, there was a brief conversation, and I'm going to be honest with you, I can't remember how it came about, but I do remember somebody asking a question. And this is why I'm coming here to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And I believe it was, how do we take care of widows? And from that question, there arose another question, and that was this: are we supposed to take care of a man when he is left all alone? And the men begin to have some thoughts on those things. And, of course, I don't specifically see anything in Scripture unless I'm overlooking something. But I believe that there are some passages that we can look at tonight that can give us these principles that I believe we should take in mind. So as we begin to go through this, tonight this isn't a focus. Tonight this isn't a focus on a man. However, but this is going to be applicable to everyone. There are needs of people that need to be met. Amen. Some of those needs are on a daily basis. Some of those needs, none of us will ever know of what other individuals may need. Why don't we focus upon others is a question I begin to ask myself these last few days. Why don't we focus upon others? And I begin to answer my own question quite quickly. And that is because we generally leave it up to somebody else. We say to ourselves, well, we don't really have the time to do those things, and I would be grateful if someone else would step in and begin to take care of those needs. But we're going to go in a route tonight. Hopefully, it'll be able to explain this a little bit better. First off, let's look at the life of Jesus, if we can, who had put others' needs ahead of his own. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. Book of Matthew, chapter 20. You have to forgive me. My tongue is getting very tight tonight. I don't know. It usually happens on a Wednesday night for some reason. I don't know if it's because I get pretty fatigued at this time. But just bear with me. We will get over it. And you can go home after it's all said and done. But in the book of Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, we read this. And it says this: "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So we see that he came to minister. Knowing this, he was a true servant who was willing to serve, and not just to serve, but to minister to those that were in need as well. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, into the book of Luke, chapter 9. Book of Luke, chapter 9. Just gives us some illustrations of how Jesus put others ahead of himself. Book of Luke, chapter 9, and verse number 58, we all should know this verse, but let's back up. Verse number 57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went into the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And here's Jesus' response to this man. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." So that being said, the Son of God had no place to lay his head, showing that he was putting other people's needs ahead of himself. He was more concerned about taking care of others than he was about taking care of what he needed in his life. Everybody needs rest. But the Son of God had no place to lay his head down. So with Christ being our example on taking care of the needs of others, this should be the desire of our hearts as well. Imagine this. Imagine a church taking care of each other. Oh, how that would just thrill the heart of Jesus, knowing that the ones that he has left down here in charge of the church at this point in time in life, how they are meeting and taking care of the needs of every individual. Now, it's not necessarily in areas that we might think of it is okay, now we got to take care of somebody, we got to give them money. I'm not talking about money here tonight. That's not what I'm trying to get at, and I don't want you to think that that's the case. But at the same time, before we go on any further, as we begin to try to be help and we try to be encouragement to people in these areas who need a help, at the same time, this can also be abused by people. People begin to take advantage of the church. They begin to take advantage of the individuals in the church, and they abuse this. And that happens on some occasions. That is people taking advantage of good-hearted people. And that's the last thing that you want to be done by somebody else is somebody taking advantage of you. The first reason tonight we're going to look at comes from the book of 1 John chapter number 3. Go ahead and turn there. Book of 1 John chapter number 3. And we're going to read verse number 11 down through verse number 17. It says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brother, and he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Now, when it comes to being a help to people who are in need, and I'm basically speaking of people within our congregation. And when it comes to this, first thing that we need to realize is we need to learn to have compassion for people. And showing them that we care about them, showing them that somebody actually loves them. And so we need to show compassion. When we see or know of a brother that is in need of something, we need to have compassion. And then when we have that compassion, we begin to show them compassion by trying to take care of the need of the hour for them. And it could be simple little tasks. It could be taking somebody to the grocery store. By the way, there are people in our church who need people taking them to the grocery store. There are people that might need a ride to the drugstore to pick up some prescriptions or some things of that nature. And we need to have compassion. And when we have compassion, we're going to realize, hey, I'm going to have to give something up in my life at this point in time that I'm trying to do. But that's okay, because we're trying to be a blessing to those people who are in need of something. So we take care of those things. If we're unable to help, then we need to try to lead them in the right direction. Sometimes we're not going to be able to help. For example, somebody calls you up for a ride, and you're not able to give them a ride. Well, what do you want to do? Well, hey, let me get on the phone, and let me try to get a hold of somebody so that maybe they can help you out, since I can't help you out in this situation. So sometimes we can't be a help right away, but we can help guide them in the right direction. And I believe that's a good thing for us to do. So as the verse says here, this isn't the time for us to shut up our bowels of compassion. We need to have compassion. Remember, Christ put himself upon a cross for what reason? Because he had compassion. Okay? He had compassion. So we open the door for this reason, and that reason is the love of God is in us. Look at verse number 17 again. It says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shut up of his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So in other words, the reason why we begin to want to be a help and want to be a blessing to somebody is for this reason, because we love them. When was the last time? I'm serious when I say this. When was the last time that you told somebody in this congregation that you love them, that you care for them, that they mean something to you? And I think that's something that should be practiced on occasions. We hear pastors say this from the pulpit on many different occasions. He'll say this, folks, I love you. You know what he said a couple weeks ago as before he dismissed our services? He said this. He goes, folks, give me some time to get down the aisle so that I can get back there so that I can greet you. Because in these words, not necessarily exactly what he said, I love you, folks. And he means that. And so we do things because we love each other. Love for others will cause us to do some things that would be totally out of our character. And that happens on many different occasions. You know, for an example, kids that have ailing parents begin to do things for their parents that they would not think that they would do in a lifetime. And I've told this to Jalen. You know, I feel bad for her because she's the only child. She's going to have to take care of us. And the good thing is she's going to school to learn how to take care of us when we get old. I said, Jalen, you might want to get used to this because you're going to have to take care of us. She said this the other night. I kid you not. She goes, yeah, there's some good nursing homes out there. I was like, you little snot. But anyway, I know where she gets her humor from because I've done the same thing before. I've taken mom and dad around town, and I remember this is about 10 years ago, and I'm looking around, and I see some nursing homes. I says, what do you guys think of that place? What are you talking about? I said, well, that could be your future home. That didn't go so well with him. I thought it was funny, but they didn't. So love for others will cause us to do things that will be totally out of our character. We need a wake-up call, honestly. Because we only have what we have because of God. We might sit there and think, well, I've done this and I've done this to acquire everything that I have, and I'm going to keep it all to myself, and I'm not going to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, I'm not asking you, or I'm not telling you that you need to give your things away. What I am telling you, God has given you things. He's blessed you. And because he's blessed you, you need to turn around and bless somebody else. And that's a good thing to do. We have what we have because of God. Maybe God gave it to you so that you will turn around and bless others what he has blessed you with. I have noticed some things in my life. I've noticed personally the people who don't have much are the ones who usually give the most. And they're the happiest about it. They will go out of their way just to give somebody something because they know that they're going to treasure it and they're going to cherish what they've given them. The ones that are usually, they don't have the means to do so, usually end up doing the most. And generally, they're the happiest people in the world. They truly are. Verse number 18, as we see here, where am I at here? I got to go back to verse number 18 goes on and says, not just showing love by saying it, but this. My little children, let us not love in word, 1 John 3, verse 18, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The word deed is performing it, making it become an action. Back in the early 90s, there was a movie titled, and I know this because I sat and I watched this movie. The movie was this, You Can't Buy Me Love. That is so true. Because there is no price tag that you can put on love. And I'm not trying to get you to go out and to be a help to somebody, to try to buy their love and affection. That's not what I'm trying to get at here. I want us to be a help to people because out of the goodness of our heart. Because we love them. So the second thing that we can learn tonight is found in the book of Luke, chapter number 6. Go ahead and turn there. The book of Luke, chapter number 6. In verse number 38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." Before I go on with this, this happens to be one of my wife's favorite verses for this reason. I'm going to just give you a little bit of a background on this, why this has become her favorite verse. Because there is still an image in my mind every time that I see this verse that has my wife in it, and it has her grandmother in it. A lot of you folks never had the privilege to meet her Grandma Ruth, but I had the privilege of meeting her, and while we were dating each other, I actually lived on the weekends with her grandmother. And here's a lady that was in her early 70s, going into her 80s, you know, as time went by. We didn't date that long, but I can remember on many different occasions on Saturday nights, we would stay up till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And we would just begin to talk about many things. And I appreciated that at that point in time in my life because not being here in the weekends and being underneath the preaching of my father and being around my mother, I had somebody else that was a godly influence in my life at that point in time. And I needed that. And she was able to give me some good advice, and she was a very wise woman. But I remember on many different occasions, her grandma and her, as they would begin to rehearse their goodbyes. Matter of fact, their goodbyes, and still to this day, with her family, ends up being about an hour long. You know, when we go there, there's always a time that I want to leave. And I always got to say, Chris, we're going to be leaving in about 2 hours. You might want to start saying your goodbyes right now. Because that's how long it takes sometimes. And then if you know my wife, she'll find stuff to do. Oh, I'm not leaving just yet. I'm going to go wash the dishes. She'll do those things. And that's fine. But here's what they did. They would always hug each other goodbye, and they would quote this scripture. And this verse has become very dear to her. And every time I read this, it just takes me back to when they would say their goodbyes. But notice what it says. It says to give. It says to give, and then it says, "And it shall be given unto you." Why do we want to be a help to people? Because when we are able to be a giver to somebody else, guess what the Lord's going to do? He's going to give back to you. More ways than we can understand. Don't think for a second that God isn't going to be blessed by your giving to others. Have you ever heard of the saying, you cannot outgive God? You can't outgive him. One of the most generous missionaries that I knew, or I should say that I knew, and a lot of you folks know him, some of you don't, some of you never met him, and he was a great friend of our family. We considered him, the greatest thing about growing up in a preacher's home was this: you're able to have more of an intimate relationship with the missionaries and the evangelists that came in, which is why a lot of them are still so dear to us. Brother Kimmel, in my mind, was an uncle to me. And he was a great friend. I went with him on a few occasions to some meetings. I've been out to his house. I've actually spent a week out of his house with my wife a few years ago. And had a great time with him. But he was one of the most generous man that I ever knew. He was constantly not only given to God, but he was giving to others as well. Some would be through some financial blessings to people. Some would just be giving his time, trying to do things for folks. Some of it would just be listening to people. He was a generous person. He wasn't the only one that was an influence in my life at this point in time. And a lot of you folks knew this man, but Brother Case. Brother Case was a generous, giving man. And he made his wealth, his background was construction. He owned his own construction company. And God called him to the mission field. He sold everything that he had, went to Australia for years. But he became a very generous person. And you know what? He didn't have much to give after he sold everything. But I remember him saying one time he had a desire to purposely give somebody, I believe, $100 a week when he seen them. And there's been folks in this church who benefited from that, where he would just walk up to them and shake their hand or give them a hug and slip them a $100 bill. Again, I'm not telling you to give someone your money. I'm just trying to tell us, hey, we need to learn how to take care of each other. And some people have a giving attitude of giving their money. Some have a giving attitude of giving their time, giving of their talents, and those things. And both these men has realized, hey, God has given it to me. He can take it away very easily. So why not turn around and be a blessing to somebody else? So in other words, don't be stingy with what God's given you. There are other areas that we can be a help to others, and that is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, if you go ahead and turn there. Isaiah chapter number 25, in verse number 4, says this, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." You see what took place here? There's people who are they're willing to be of a strength to the poor, they're a strength to the needy in distress, and some became a refuge from the storm, and some became a shadow from the heat that was coming about them. The third thing that we can do to be a help to somebody is by being their strength. By being their strength. Obviously, we can't give strength. I can't pass my strength on to you, because that's impossible. I can't do those things. But there are other areas in my life that I can be a strength for you. And we can be a strength to each other. We can do this in this area by being a help to others, by maybe doing odd jobs around their houses that they're no longer able to do. See, this question was asked for a reason, because there are some men who will lose their wife. They'll go before them, and they might not have any children as well either. But for example, they might be crippled up. And perhaps maybe the wife took care of a lot of the things. And now the man has been left alone. But we can be their strength by doing some odd jobs around the house that they're no longer able to do. This will help put their mind at ease. For many worry about how they can attend to the needs of the home. There are a lot of us in here tonight, especially us men. We know that there are projects that are need to be done around the house. And what do? We worry about them. Well, think about the ones who can't do it. Think about the worry that they're having in their life. And we can be a strength to them and by helping them in these areas. Some here in this church, and I can't thank you enough for this, but there are some here in this church who are being a great strength right now to Pastor as you drive him back and forth to his dialysis appointments. That's an encouragement to him. You know, that's something that he doesn't have to worry about. Yeah, does he have to line it up every single week? Does he have to make sure that he has folks lined up? Yeah, he does. But at the same time, he has folks who are willing to say, "Hey, Pastor, I'm going to be your strength in this area. Don't worry about it." And that's giving of your time. That's being an encouragement. By the way, He can't drive himself. And some of you have been there. When he gets done, he can't even walk half the times. And literally, you become his strength by helping him to be able to do what he needs to do. The fourth thing is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, and just one verse. Again, I'm taking these verses that I believe that we can apply this to this situation. Verse number 27, it says this: withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Don't hold good from them. If we're able to do good unto others, then let's do good unto others. Why? Because life isn't just about ourselves. Life isn't just about serving our needs. Life isn't just about fulfilling our needs. But life is about doing good to others. Those that do good will be blessed, as you see in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22. Let me read this, book of Proverbs, chapter number 22, and verse number 9. It says this: he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Those that do good will be blessed. I began thinking about this last night, this particular verse, and honestly, my mind went back to my mom. That happens on many different occasions. And let me explain why my mind began to go back to my mom. And as I begin to say this, moms will begin to understand this very thing that I'm saying. My mom at times would usually give up things so that her kids could have it. We were poor. She was rich. She would say, no, I wasn't rich, Chad. But she would give up things. What she had to give was of herself to those who wanted. There were times where she didn't eat the meals that she wanted to eat because her kids were hungry. Now, that didn't happen too often, but I know that she would sacrifice those things. But with that being said, she was blessed. God took care of her. And by the way, God's still taking care of her. I don't think God's done blessing her. And she demonstrated by taking care of our needs, by giving up things that she had, that she wanted, that she desired, and she gave to us. But it didn't stop with the kids. I would see this begin to spew forth into others around her. There are people that wanted to come stay all night at our house when they were younger, just because they knew that Mrs. Springer wouldn't throw a fit, and they knew Mrs. Springer would feed them. One of my friends, his favorite meal, he still talks about this today. He'll call me up here. He'll text me every once in a while. He'll say, Chad, I'm craving your mom's hamburger and gravy. And he would do those things. He would stay all night at the house, and he'd get up at midnight, and he'd walk to the fridge and take out cold pork and start eating it. And my poor dad wouldn't have no leftovers the next day. But they never complained. They never grumbled about it because they knew that somebody was in need of it, and they were happy that they did those things. It spewed forth. The last thing I want us to see tonight is found in the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Acts chapter 20, verse number 35 says this. I was going to read a good portion of this tonight, but I'm just going to read verse number 35. It says, I have showed you all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How true is that? I have seen people who are thrilled to give of their money, to give of their time, to give of their talents. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it is so true. And with that being said, because of our giving attitude, and I've said it before, but God blesses us. God blesses those who want to be a help. So true, there is so much joy when giving to others. So very true. One of the most important things, besides giving somebody maybe money or maybe a ride to the store or maybe some other things that's just slipping my mind right now, but I believe one of the most important things that we can ever give somebody is this, and that is time. Some people might not want you to take them to the store. Some people, they'll turn your money down if you want to help them out, maybe give them $5, $10 here and there. Some people just want your time. They just want someone to talk to, someone to listen. And I believe that's a good quality to have as well. You say, man, I can't give you all those other things, but man, I can sure give somebody my time. I can sure listen to them and be an encouragement in that way. So that being said, I believe there are some good verses in here. Even though it's there, I can't find nothing specifically in that we're supposed to take care of a man if he was to lose his wife, but I believe there's some great applications from these verses and how we are to be a help to others. Whether it's a widow, whether it's a widower, or whether it's kids, I believe there are some great applications here. And I believe that these are things that we need to practice in our life. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us what it means to be so giving. You've demonstrated that, and I say it quite often, and I'll never stop saying it. I'll never be ashamed of saying it. But you've demonstrated to us what it truly means to give because you gave your life for us. You laid it down upon the cross. You gave up the ghost. And we're grateful for those things. God, I pray that you just be with the ones that are going to be traveling home. Give them safety. Lord, we thank you for this sweet child that is coming to this world, that you would be with her, keep her healthy, be with the parents, Lord, as they transition into another phase in her life. And we ask you these things. Your name, amen.